morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Coffee with the Coder for Monday, January the 16th, 2017. Can you believe it's 2017? Wow, this is our second episode this year, and we just want to welcome you. We're only taking 10 minutes, so this is a coffee break, and we have the ability to have Paula Digby and her experts weigh in on some tough questions that are asked in the health information management field, and sometimes just interesting things that are coming up in the health information management field. So we are also recording these, and they are available on our website for you to replay. They're free. You don't have to sign up. Just come in and enjoy. And by the way, you can also click and add a question. So we'd love to address your question on a future episode. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning.
I'm happy that we're all here today, and I know we've got a couple of cool questions. Did you want to say something before we get started?
No, just thanks, everyone, for listening in and joining us today. This is a really exciting new feature that we're offering and giving users the ability to send in their questions. And, you know, of course, we may not use all your questions, but even if we don't, we will likely reach out to you and get a little bit more information sometimes, because, you know, sometimes questions, they need to be very detailed. And, you know, we're just happy to be here and be able to offer this service to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, there are sometimes a lot more nuances to a question than might first appear. So that is very fascinating. Well, so we've had a couple of pretty good questions this morning. And I know over the last couple of weeks we've dealt with inpatient rehab and inpatient and outpatient and lots of other different things. So this one comes from a doctor's office. And so I'm going to just read the question for you, and then I'll let you take whatever time you need to answer it. This is from Iva, and Iva says, we are having a difference with what the doctor's office pre-certs for a procedure and what we're coding. So I'm hoping you can shed some light on the issue, if one of us has got to be wrong. The two codes in question are 58661 and 58700. The doctor's office is pre-certing 700 and believes that the laparoscopy is bundled in with that code, and we're thinking if the salpingectomy is done laparoscopically, it should be coded as A61. The office states that the laparoscopy was an exploratory procedure and wasn't specifically done to remove the fallopian tube.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Iva. Without the operative report, of course, it's not something that I'm willing to answer. It's always this way or never this way. It sounds like, based on what you've read through the operative report, and this seems to be happening over and over and over again, that the and this is actually PAMA facility, I think, because it said doctor's office in the question. It's the question about the variance between what the facility is reporting and what the physician office is getting pre-certed. In my experience in the past, when I did pre-certs, basically what we would do in the office is we would talk to that insurance company, and if we felt like the surgery was scheduled as an exploratory, we didn't know what was going to happen, how much further the physician was going to go, we would identify that to the insurance company at the time. So, for example, if it was supposed to be just the laparoscopy that we were anticipating doing, and maybe we might have to do one of these other procedures, we would tell the insurance company. So we, in this case, I would have said, you know, hey, insurance company, we are planning to do 58700, which is laparoscopy. However, there is a potential that the physician, based on what he or she finds, could need to go further, and then give them a list of a few other codes. That kind of protects everyone on both sides. It protects the physician and the facility. And it's really hard for me not to believe that if the physician's office is also billing that appropriate code for the procedure that was actually performed, that they may be having denials as well. So you are correct in thinking that the 58700 would not be reported if the procedure was performed through the laparoscopy and the salpingectomy was performed, because 58661 is the correct code for that performed through a through a laparoscopy, the code reads the removal of ovaries and or fallopian tubes via laparoscopy. So, of course, then that 58700 would not be reported in addition because the 58700 is for laparoscopy and it would be bundled in. So what the office is saying is, yes, the two codes are bundled. They just have it a little bit backwards, if I'm understanding you correctly. They're thinking that the 661 is bundled into the 58700, and it's actually the reverse. The 58700 is bundled into the 58661. But I would, try to have an open conversation with that office and, you know, really appeal to them and ask, you know, are you reporting, when you bill these services, are you reporting 58700? I haven't looked up the fee schedule on this, but it may be that the 58661 may pay differently than the 58700 for the physician as well as the facility. It may not, but it may. But we want to make sure that the insurance company, the payer, is notified before the procedure when it requires pre-cert that, okay, yes, we're going in to do something, you know, exploratory, but there is a potential that we could go further and need to do one of these other codes. They can certainly do that when they're doing pre-cert. So you can appeal to the office on that from that angle.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate all of that depth because, when I read the question, I thought it was a different thing. So I'm happy that you were able to that. Now, we've got time, I think, for one more because we want to try to stop at 10 minutes and everybody has time to get their coffee and go on back to what they need to be doing. But this question came in from Lee. Can a facility nurse supervised by a physician in a hospital setting provide conscious sedation and have the surgeon bill for that service?
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I know that you guys may be aware that conscious sedation was unbundled this year. The codes that we previously had for conscious sedation were deleted, and there are new codes created based on whether the surgeon is performing the conscious sedation or whether a physician other than the surgeon is performing the conscious sedation. At the AMA conference back in November of last year, this question, very similar question, was posed. And basically the question was, can a facility nurse, same thing, supervised by a physician, provide those conscious sedation services? And the answer is yes. Yes, but let me say it that way. If the physician, the surgeon, is the one that is supervising and managing the nurse, he or she is there, you know, working on the patient, and he or she is directing the nurse, you know, how much and what medications to, they're making the decisions as to what the patient needs, how long they need to have that, you know, injection, you know, different things about the injection, where the physician is in charge, then, and of course there needs to be that trained observer, just as the code says, in order for the physician to bill it. But then, yes, if that's the case, it's actually all bundled under that physician's liability, and he or she would bill for those services. However, if the nurse is in there making all the calls, making the decisions, pushing the drug, and without any input, the physician is really not monitoring him or her. And, of course, it does need to be in a facility setting as well. But if the nurse is making her own way and her own decisions, then the physician would not report those conscious sedation services. And a new thing about the conscious sedation codes, the new codes, is that they are in 15-minute increments. The first is no longer 30 minutes, as it was in previous years, but it is in 15-minute increments. And so, please, the best practice is have the physician's document time. That means start and stop time. Don't estimate, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Document start and stop time, because as CMS was discussing this issue, that's what they were expecting, is that actual start and stop times. Pam?
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Well, we appreciate all of you joining us this morning. Our 10 minutes is up. You can visit us at aq-iq.com and look for the Coffee with the Coder, and you can review all the old episodes, including this one, which will be available in just a little while. We'd love to have you stop by and send us a question. We look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks on January the 30th at 10:10.
Hey, Pam, before you... Before you go, let's tell everybody to please, you know, if they would like to get more information, or if they would like to be alerted when Coffee with a Coder is going to occur, that to please, you know, sign up for our mailing list.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you will find that on the front page at aq-iq.com.